Wake Up Call continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, the good, the bad, and the dumb. As we roll along this morning, it's already Wednesday this week. Don't forget, the draft is in 1 week, less than a little over 1 week, Thursday night next week. All right, what is the good of the day?
Good of the day. There can only be one, Tony.
One. That's it?
Yeah, there was a quick little press conference yesterday. I don't know if you noticed or saw it. That was DeMar Hamlin, who has been cleared to resume NFL activities, and he himself has vowed to make a comeback to the Bills roster.
What an amazing story this is. Just like 3.5 months ago, if you really want to make it technical.
I mean,
that's
what was
it? Happened. January 2nd.
Was it? No, it wasn't in January.
Yes, it was.
Was it January?
Yes, it was.
God, I thought for sure it was. I thought it was in December.
No, January 2nd.
That's even more remarkable.
Yep, it was week 16.
Yeah,
yeah.
No, I knew that.
No, 17. Week 17. Week 17.
That's right, because there's a week 18 now.
That's right, the week 18 now. Almost forget. I was trying to do the math.
We've only had it for 2 years, and we still can't remember.
Yeah, just January. It was January 2nd, and so 3.5 months.
Yeah.
And now he's. So what did we ever figure? I kind of lost the story as the season went on. Did we ever find out what was wrong? Was it correct? Was it remember the initial analysis was that he was hit at the exact microsecond that the heart was skipping? But that seemed like a theory, not a known fact. Because remember, people were like, "Well, we don't really know." Did we ever find out exactly what happened to him? Was that the answer? Because I'm going with that.
I think that's about as close as we can get to whatever it's going to be. I did see it, but I lost what the actual diagnosis was. But even if I told you what the actual diagnosis was, it wouldn't shed any light.
Right.
I mean, it's like three big medical words that I would probably butcher anyways. And you and I go, yeah, of course it's that.
Because
saw that on an episode of House once.
I've seen cardiologists say, well, if it's that, then there's no reason why he wouldn't come back. It could happen to anybody. Like it's just a like lightning striking. It's a very very rare occurrence, and he's not more or less prone to that than anybody else. So but we never got an official that was the reason. So I was still up in the air. Like, does he have a heart condition? Does he have something that would prevent him from coming back?
Because usually that kind of opens up that door when you find that out.
Right. You find out, like, all right, he has a weak heart. You know, it's like finding out somebody had a heart condition. Like, they were an athlete, but they died at like 42 or something. And you're like,
disease. I was watching a video the other day, and it was Adam Silver. It was like an old TikTok video. Adam Silver calling up a player's name because his dream was to play in the NBA, but he found out he was a center for Baylor.
Oh right, okay.
And he found out like during the offseason workouts in between the end of the basketball season and the NBA draft that he had this genetic heart defect that was going to prohibit him from playing any further.
Can you imagine finding that out?
Yeah.
As you are getting examined to be a professional basketball player?
Yeah.
Like, you're thinking, my life is going to be heading to
the
pros.
And you're not thinking that. You're
fame.
You've been playing college basketball. You know, you're healthy and you're an athlete. Yeah, you're just like, it's just routine. These teams just need a physical of you a more thorough physical than what you've ever gone through. And they found
then you
this.
Find out, yeah.
But Adam Silver still did the whole thing where he's calling up on name so he can hear his name being called. There was just no team associated with it, obviously. But that to me is like, that's DeMar Hamlin, right? I mean, he gets hit, almost dies on the field. You learn something from that, like, oh, you have this. We never thought to check for this, but you have this. But apparently, he doesn't.
They were never the same after that. The Bills just never looked the same. No. Thing. I remember you and I talking about that. That when they lost to Cincinnati in the playoffs, everything we thought the Bills would do, rallying around DeMar Hamlin, annihilating their opponents, they never did it. They struggled in the season finale against the Patriots. They struggled against the Dolphins and barely won a game against a third-string quarterback. And then they just got taken to the barn and destroyed by Cincinnati.
Yep.
I mean, just annihilated by Cincinnati.
I mean, it shook them.
It really did. I'm not making excuses, but I think seeing a teammate that you love and care about almost die and not knowing what his life was going to be like or like, and wondering every day if he was going to make it for at least the first touch and go parts before he cleared out of there, I think shook him. Even when they knew he was okay, they still weren't the same team. But that is great news, and I hope he has success. I really do. I hope he makes it. I hope there's a story on the back end, because I hate the NFL business is cruel, right? And it's,
yeah.
And the Bills, there's no sentimental roster spot for a guy. Like, they don't keep you on because you're a feel good story. Damar Hamlin is going to have to earn it and keep it. And if he doesn't keep it, this feel good moment goes away when he's playing for the Arizona Cardinals, and then we lose track of him. You know, and then we find out, oh, he's on his fourth team in 5 years because he's just bouncing around the league. So I hope he's successful. I hope that he is able to, you know, keep it. There'll be a feel-good moment for a while, but then after a while, the business kicks in. So I hope he's as effective as he was that earned that starting job.
And not a Malcolm Butler
situation, right, exactly.
where Malcolm Butler was, you know, the most important Patriot of all time for a little bit.
Yep.
Until, you know, he wasn't. And then it was like, I don't even know if he's on a team right now.
Yeah, think about Hard Knocks, right? I mean, again, I know it's different because he suffered a life-threatening injury. But think about Hard Knocks. How many times we see a player and he just works his tail off. And he's a good dude. And you hear, like, the coaches in the meetings talk about how great he is and he's awesome. But you know what happens at the end of the season? They go, it's just a matter of numbers, man. We can't keep you. You know, so I hope he keeps his job and is a Buffalo Bill for a while. All right, what's the bad of the day?
The bad of the day, Tony, is I want you to put this on your calendar right now, September 29th, 2023.
That's easy. That's my brother's birthday.
Oh, perfect. Do you know what else is happening that day?
I will remember, yes.
Do you know what else is happening that day?
Uh-uh.
It's the last time Netflix will send out a DVD in their trademark red envelope.
They're done with that?
Yeah, I didn't know they were still doing that.
I didn't know they were still doing that. That's still a service. Like, I go to Netflix all the time. I never see that option.
I never.
You hear your movies that you can stream, but do you want to do the DVD thing? I never see that.
Yeah, so your brother's birthday is the last time Netflix will do those red envelopes.
Wow.
Where you can get a DVD in the mail and then return it. I guess at your leisure. I don't know. Are they getting all the DVDs back? I have no clue.
I sometimes forget, and this is shame on me. I sometimes forget that there are pockets in this country and there are people who don't get the internet, who don't have the internet, who can't afford it, or it doesn't go to their area of the country. And I kind of think everyone has it, and everybody's got high speed, and nobody's on dial up or. But there are places in America where internet's hard to get, or it's not affordable.
Yeah,
and so
this I mean, listen, I was cleaning out my garage. I was cleaning out my garage the other day, and there was just my wife and I for the longest time we've talked about it, where we collected these DVDs, especially from Blockbuster, where you used to buy all the latest movies after they had ran a circulation. It was like you can get these things for $5 now.
Yeah,
so we just kept buying DVD after DVD after DVD. We had this gigantic box of DVDs that I just ran right over to Goodwill. I'm like, here it is.
Yeah.
My sons were like, oh, you got to keep the Star Wars ones. You got to keep them. I'm like, why?
I'm with you 100%.
I'm like, we don't have a DVD player.
Yep. I'm with you 100%. That used to be the status symbol.
Yes.
Where people would go, I've got all these movies. I've got 400 movies in my collection, and you would go to people's houses and be like, wow, look at all those DVDs.
Look at that library.
That's incredible. Look at that library. And you're 100% right. You never use them. You never dive back into them.
My sons were like, well, what if we want to watch Star Wars? I'm like, just go to Disney Plus. What if we want to watch Harry Potter? It's shown all the time.
Right. You'll find it. I have that was, and that, that also ruined a lot of good gift ideas. You know what I mean? Like, for Christmas, my wife would be like, he likes Raiders of the Lost Ark. I'll get him the box set. I still have it upstairs.
Yeah.
Like, I've got the Indiana Jones box set, Star Wars box set, Harry Potter box set, James Bond box set. Like, I got a bunch of them. And they just sit there. They don't move. They haven't been moved in years. Other than maybe to clean the shelf.
And that's literally what we did was, I mean, with this gigantic box of DVDs, we just moved it from one place to another place to another place. And then, sure, there were some that I took out, like, oh, my kids will like it. You know, you can play a DVD on their PlayStation, but they never watch it.
Right.
You know, and I was just like, why are we holding on to the past here?
This is completely
something we just don't need.
We got the dumb coming up, and then we got Eitan Shander this hour. Talk Phillies and Sixers and Eagles. So that's all coming up as Hour 2 continues. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. We're continuing the good, the bad, and the dumb. Eitan Shander's joining us in 15 minutes. We'll talk Eagles and their contract with Jalen Hurts and the Sixers as they are up 2-0 over Brooklyn, heading to Brooklyn for game 3. But like the Boston-Atlanta series, I just don't see anything from Brooklyn's way of making this a series. And nobody thought that, right? I think in the West, we have a little bit more like, hey, the Lakers, I think, could beat the Grizzlies. Or, what's the three matchup? Maybe Golden State Kings. Could have beaten the Sacramento Kings, right?
Before the series. Now it's like, hey, Kings can go up 3-0.
Yeah. Now, like, in the West, we had this feeling like maybe Denver, Minnesota won't be interesting, but everything else could be really interesting.
Yeah.
Nobody thought that in the East. Like, nobody thought the games with the top three teams would be interesting. And so far, two of them are not interesting, but the Milwaukee-Miami one is a little interesting now with Giannis's back in.
Yeah, but it takes that for it to get interesting.
It takes that for that to be interesting. All right, let's get back to the good, the bad, and the dumb, and the dumb of the day.
The dumb of the day, which I'm glad we're doing our own segment because there's a a little more attached to it that now I can't attach to it because I wasn't planning on before. But the dumb of the day is Juan Soto, the Padres outfielder
Soto.
Juan Soto. Yeah, he's having a hard time adjusting to the pitch clock because it doesn't allow him the time he needs to get ready, to get all the gear on, and to play mind games with the pitcher.
Yeah, well, too bad. That's the point.
And I guess he's using that to explain why he's batting 143.
Well, he is a young man, right?
Yeah.
So you just kind of go, all right, young man, you have to figure this out. That's the way it goes. And you know what? You're not a veteran enough to warrant the inability to change on really quickly. It's not like you're a 10-year veteran of this sport that you're like, wow, this is going to be really hard for him to adjust. You're still a young 22-year-old kid.
Yeah, but that was part of the problem that we were having before with what was going on is that he's one of those guys that needs time to adjust his batting gloves and to slow the game down to kind of break the pitcher off his rhythm so he can play those mind games that we're all sitting there like, okay, can you just step into the batter box and take a pitch already?
Do you think Rob Manfred just should come out in his whenever press conference he's doing and say, hey, you know what? Hey, guys, I know you're not asking about this. I know you want to talk about expansion and all that other stuff. But I want to message all you players out there. We're never going back, so suck it up. And I don't want to hear your excuses.
Yeah.
Don't send me emails. Don't call our office. Don't complain to your agent. We're never taking the pitch clock down. We've done the research. And you know what, guys? You're the reason why games were 4 hours in July. So stop it. We're not going back. We're not doing it. So if you're batting 170 and you want to blame the pitch clock, and you want to blame me, and you want to direct all your fan ire at me for changing the rules, nope, too bad. You know what? Suck it up. Figure it out. You're a professional athlete. Do it.
Like you just said, 4-hour game in July. Who needs that?
Who needs that? Right, exactly.
But it brought me to a larger point because the Major League Baseball is flirting with other rule changes. And they always do this in the Atlantic Division. So
a couple
of the other rule changes that they are flirting with is instead of having two times for the pitcher to throw over to first base, they may limit it down to one.
Just
to keep it at two.
Yeah, I don't.
That's not really. I think that one's going to get thrown out, but I think they're just experimenting it. One is the use of a designated hitter. I mean, a designated runner. I'm sorry. Who can enter the game multiple times. Right now, they'll use a pinch runner.
But when they use a pinch runner, doesn't it take the person out of the game?
It takes that player out of the game, right.
Yeah. So are they experimenting with
a designated runner? So it basically means, you know, that guy doesn't even have to be good at baseball. It could just be fast.
Yeah, I don't.
Just take a track star and teach him how to slide. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
I'm not a big fan of that one either. But the one that I do like is it's called the double hook. Now, have you heard about this one?
No.
So the double hook is that when you take out the starting pitcher, you're also taking out the designated hitter.
Oh, okay. That's interesting.
So it's kind of forcing teams to use a little bit more strategy, keep that starting pitcher in a little bit longer.
So what they're trying to do is keep a little of the National League flavor into the process. A little bit, right? Because if you when a pitcher is cruising in a tight game, but he's gone six innings and he's just mowing down the opposition, but he's coming up in the order of a tight game, you might say, all right, I gotta pull him. I gotta replace his bat. He stinks at the plate. I gotta put in a solid bat. We're in a tight game. And so even though he gave us six solid innings and could give us eight solid innings, he's gotta go. Or he's cruising and the inning is rolling along and we're trying to accumulate runs and we've got bases loaded in two outs and he's supposed to come up to the plate. I have to take him out of the game and put so they're trying to add a
I mean, it could also just be, you know, it's like, hey, try to get these starters to play a little bit longer.
Yeah, a little bit, go a little bit longer.
Because right now we have starters, like, if they make it to the fifth inning, we're happy.
And I know, we're never going to see a complete game again.
I know.
Like, in 10 years, one's going to, like, nine innings would be insane.
I read this article, and I think this guy's 100% right, because Clayton Kershaw won his 200th game yesterday.
Right.
And, you know, the way he put it in this article was, we're never going to see a 300-game winner again, are we?
I don't think so. I agree with him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that article. I don't think we are.
Like, for you and I, like, coming of age in the 90s, we had three of them.
Yeah.
We got to 300. You know, and it's like, yeah, I 100% agree that what's it going to take for a pitcher to get to 300 wins now?
I know. That's very
true. Kershaw just got to 200, and he's been on a team, a very successful team. You know, I mean, that goes along with the fact of we shouldn't be satisfied with your starting pitcher just going five innings and then going to bullpen.
Right.
Right. And I think there's too much analytics going on in baseball. So maybe this is I think it's another avenue to kind of speed up the game.
Yeah. I would tell baseball, I don't know, don't be like that person that goes, you know what, I'm going to build an addition to my house. And then he just puts up a little extra room. And then while he's doing it, he goes, you know what, I think I need another one. Or I think I need a new deck. I think I need a new barn. I think, don't be that person.
Right.
That one project opens a floodgate, and next thing you know, you've changed the entire compound of your house. You tried to speed up the game. You're speeding up the game. There's no need to really dabble in multiple things. I do think that umpire assisted computers that help balls and strikes would be a big help.
Yep.
I'm not saying go umpire less. That's stupid. But I do think that.
But you get the feeling that they're almost drunk with power right now because they did make a lot of changes, and we're all sitting back going, "Oh my God, pitch clock, unbelievable." I didn't really understand why you wanted to make the bases bigger, but now I'm seeing that stolen bases are going up. Fantastic.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, so you're getting positive feedback. So you're like, well, what about this?
Yeah.
What about this?
Look what behind curtain number two.
Right, yeah. Like, instead of seeing a lumbering fat blah 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 on the bases, you could see former USC track star Joe Smith running the base. Like, slow down. There is a strategic element to some of this stuff that you don't want to keep blowing up. Right? I mean, like, we don't want a roster filled with just guys who run bases. That's silly. Like, I don't even know how to hit. Doesn't matter. I'm fast. You know, no, we don't need that.
I mean, if I, like, you're a fast guy, like, you know, Billy Hamilton could hit, but I mean, he was like the last fast guy that sticks out of my mind.
Right. I remember him. Yeah.
He could hit, but I mean, he wasn't a great, great hitter, but it'd just be putting him on the base. Like, anytime you got, I don't know, Milky Cabrera or Albert Pujols from last year, because he couldn't run worth anything.
So
you put, you know, he gets on base, but then you put a runner in for him.
So just chill. Just slow down. You know what? We don't want to have to turn. We don't want to turn this to another sport.
Yeah.
Like, we want it to look something like it was before. Like, hey, wouldn't it be great if we just put the ball on a tee? Wouldn't that be great, fans?
Exactly.
And instead of 9 players on a team, we'll do 11. That'll be we'll do that, huh? No. Slow down. It's we don't need any of this.
But I do like.
Wouldn't it be great if we just gave everybody helmets and shoulder pads?
I do like the idea of the double hook, though. I might be
the double hook might be interesting.
I might be a minority in that. I think Matt Pauly also tweeted that out, that he feels like he's the minority, but it would be kind of refreshing to see a starting pitcher go more than 5-6 innings.
I know I said this before. I didn't appreciate National League Baseball until I covered the Rockies on a daily basis, and I really saw a strategic element that was missing in all the American League games I was watching as a kid. Like, it really was like, oh, this is neat. Like, there really is a dynamic to when the pitcher is up at the plate. So it's not going to be entirely like that with that double hook rule, but at least it might bring some of that back into play, which is kind of, you know, kind of cool, especially if you have a really strong DH and you know that he's connected to the pitcher in his appearance. And it might even be better because it might keep pitchers in way longer. Because if you don't have a strong designated hitter, you don't want to replace him with just an average old pinch hitter. You know, you might go, yeah, let's go an extra inning. Keep him out there. All right, it's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio. Eton Shander next to talk Eagles and Sixers. Busy, busy week in Philadelphia.